So Ben Shapiro, as part of this campaign to push this message, appeared on the show this weekend called Trigonometry. I don't really know who these guys are. I think they're from England. And they're your intellectual dork web types, you know, pro-Israel, liberal, center-right, whatever. And Shapiro is there to concern troll about me and Tucker. That's like the thrust of the show. That's why he's on the show. But he said something very interesting at the beginning, which I think we need to pay special attention to, because to me, this really encapsulates the whole problem. So they introduced the show by talking about Zohran Mamdani's victory in New York City. And what's everybody talking about with that? So Tucker Carlson does a show with Nick Fuentes a week before an off-year election, which is a bellwether for performance in the midterms and then potentially 2028. So this is a very big deal. And in the middle of this election, literally a week before the election, all the conservatives can do is bitch about this interview. So Zohran Mamdani is literally a Democrat socialist, a Muslim, an immigrant. The guy is as radical as they come. And you've got important elections in Virginia, which will determine maybe redistricting. You've got important elections in Pennsylvania, New Jersey. And all Republicans can do is talk about anti-Semitism, Israel. Could it be worse timing? You have the Republican Jewish Coalition Summit with Mark Levin and Randy Fine and Lindsey Graham screaming about how Tucker's not America First. Tucker isn't MAGA. Tucker's not Republican. And people are saying, isn't this at the minimum off message? Besides being wrong, besides being hypocritical and every other flaw with this kind of messaging, isn't it at the minimum maybe off message? Maybe we should be focusing on, you know, the election. And further, what is this election about? The election, like all elections, is kind of like a referendum on the job Trump is doing. Like, for example, the economy. And how's that going, by the way? The affordability crisis? Inflation remains high. Interest rates remain high. Whatever you say about the economy, whatever some of the numbers show, people are in trouble. The job market is tight. People say prices are too high. They can't afford their bills. They're in the middle of a government shutdown. Healthcare premiums are about to go up. They're taking away SNAP benefits. They just took away $800 billion in Medicaid benefits. And so you'd think at the minimum, even just if they wanted to win elections, instead of bitching about anti-Semitism this week, they might want to talk about how Americans are doing. They might want to talk about how real working class and middle class Americans are doing in the economy. So the election arrives, and it's a Democrat blowout. Zohran Mamdani wins. Even if Cuomo had all of Curtis Sliwa's votes, he still would have lost. And even though these are blue states, Virginia, New Jersey, Pennsylvania is usually a pretty blue state, Republicans got destroyed by a much wider margin than they lost in 2024. It's not a good sign. And so Shapiro weighs in on this on Trigonometry. And they're talking about how, well, it's really easy when you're Zohran Mamdani because, well, he could just promise people free stuff. He said, so it's hard to compete with that. This is the guy that has the juvenile politics that says you can have free ice cream and free childcare and free busing and free everything. He said, and you know, that's not how the real world works. Which, you know, you could sort of, I sort of agree with that on some level. I think that, you know, I'm not a socialist. I'm not a democratic socialist. And you can believe that we should speak more about affordability without necessarily prescribing more welfare and more free stuff. But then he takes it a step further. And I want to read to you, this is an exact quote from Ben Shapiro in his interview on Trigonometry. This is what he says. And you tell me what's wrong with this. He says, quote, we have trained an entire generation of people to believe that if their lives are not what they want them to be, it's the fault of systems as opposed to decisions that are in their own control. And politicians have a stake in selling that. There's some truth in that. He says a lot of people in our industry have a stake in selling that. It makes people feel good about themselves and bad about the world. And the reality is, if you want a better life, you should feel better about the world and worse about yourself until you actually, you know, go and do the right things. Here's where it gets good. He says, if you're a young person and you can't afford to live here, maybe you should not live here. That is a real thing. We've grown up in a society that says you deserve to live where you grew up. The audacity, imagine feeling entitled to that. He says, but the reality is that the history of America is literally the opposite of that. The history of America is about going to a place where there is opportunity. And if the opportunities are limited here and they're not changing, you should really try to think about other places where you have better opportunities. So much wrong with this message. And I would say in the first place, this echoes a conversation that Shapiro had with Tucker Carlson 5 years ago, where Tucker Carlson said, you know, there's a feeling in America that things are changing too rapidly, that we are being crushed by the creative destruction of the market, the technological innovation, immigration, free trade. It's all altering society at a breakneck pace. And it feels like Americans in the heartland, in between the coasts, are sort of an afterthought. The industry's being hollowed out. The neighborhoods are being altered. The people are being displaced. He said, and people feel like they want to live in the town where their ancestors are buried, where three or four generations or beyond of their ancestors are buried. And they're being told, you know, just go work on an oil rig or something. And Shapiro says, well, you're not promised that. He said, all you're promised in America is the adventure of a lifetime. He got excoriated for this 5 years ago. This is still his ideology. So the message to all the people that voted for democratic socialism in New York is, if you can't afford to live in the nation's biggest city, well, get lost. You grew up in New York and you can no longer afford to live in New York? Well, get lost. Go move somewhere else. Go move to Ohio or something. Go move wherever. If you can't afford to live in LA and San Francisco and Miami, Chicago, well, go move somewhere else. That's what America's about. You don't deserve to live where you grew up. Now, let's just say first and foremost, is the irony lost on anybody that this is coming from a Jewish Zionist who says that if Israel gets in any trouble, that America needs to go and defend them? That if Israel gets into any trouble, America has to send Israel taxpayer money? So let me get this straight. If you're in America, born in America, you're an American citizen, and you're born in New York City or Chicago, the place where your ancestors lived, if you can't afford to live there, you can't afford housing or transportation or cost of living, you got to get lost then. But if you're a Jew and you live in Israel and you have missiles flying at you, well, then the solution is America has to go and bail you out? In other words, the American taxpayer has no obligation to bail out the American people. The American government has no obligation to the American people. Americans are not entitled to live in America. But Israel is entitled to all of that. If you're an American and it's not comfortable for you in New York, hey man, get lost. Don't expect the American government to help you. But if you're a Jew in Israel and you're in trouble, well, then America has to send you missiles and fight your wars and give you money. Really? Israel's healthcare is paid by America. Israel's defense is paid for by America. Israel's existence in the Middle East is guaranteed by America. The land quite literally was promised to them, and we are the guarantors of the promise. But Americans are not guaranteed their own country. Americans are not guaranteed their own city, their own town by their government. Really? This is the problem. This is what we're talking about. This is why we are not happy with the arrangement. Ben Shapiro is a guest here. He's a child of immigrants, recent immigrants. He married an Israeli. Do you know that about Ben Shapiro? Do you know that his wife is not even American? His wife is Israeli, which means his children are Israeli. So he is truly a foreigner. What's the problem, Ben? An American wasn't good enough for you? You had to marry someone from another country in another country? He had to move to Florida where there's all Jews there. He moved to a neighborhood. Of course, South Florida is all Jewish. What's the problem? You couldn't find an American woman, couldn't get married in America? You didn't like Nashville? This is the problem. Let's spell out the problem very simply. For the Jews, they are blood and soil nationalists. It has to be Jews by blood in Israel, that plot of land. God gave it to them. And God help anybody that gets in the way. What does it mean to be Jewish? It means to have a Jewish mother. They're Jewish by birth, by blood, by genetics. According to Jewish law, you are Jewish if your mother is Jewish. And this goes all the way back to Adam and Eve, they believe. Goes right to the beginning. They believe in blood and soil nationalism in Israel. In order to secure citizenship, all you have to do is prove you're ethnically Jewish on a DNA test. It's called birthright. It's your birthright to live there. And so for Israel, they're blood and soil nationalists. They're fascists. Ben Shapiro says, all the Arab Muslims need to be picked up and kicked out of Israel because this needs to be a Jewish country for Jews. It has to be here. It has to be ethnically Jewish people living here. The state has to be Jewish. It's a Jewish nation. They're Jewish nationalists. God promised them that. But then those Jewish people come here. Ben Shapiro's ancestors come from Russia. Those people come here. And for America, they say, well, this place is for everybody. You're not promised anything. This place is not for Europeans. It's not for your ancestors. Maybe you have ancestors going back to the Mayflower or Jamestown. Maybe you have ancestors going back to the Revolution. That doesn't matter. You are owed nothing. You are not promised anything, not the land. It's not yours. America's identity doesn't have to be European or Christian. No, see, all you're promised in America is the adventure of a lifetime, which means what exactly? The free market? So if you're hungry, if you don't have health care, if you're homeless, if you're a veteran, if you're disabled, if you're a struggling mother, if you're adopted, you know, whatever your problem is, well, you're not owed anything. You're not promised anything, and America won't take care of you because America isn't a community. It's not even really a nation. America's just a big jurisdiction where we all agree on the value of the U.S. dollar. Because what does a community have? A community has an identity. A community is coherent. There's a sense of family, familiarity. There is actually a sense of shared heritage, culture, religion, values. So let's get this straight. In Israel, they have free health care. In Israel, they're promised the land. Who? The Jews. Who is promised refuge and a home and opportunity and healthcare and security and prosperity and defense and a way of life and community? Jews are. They're promised a real nation. But Jews come to America and they say America isn't a nation. America isn't a community. It has no shared values, religion, identity, culture, anything. And you're not owed anything and you're not promised anything. If you can't afford a house, well, hey, man, buy a train ticket. Like a bum. Buy a train ticket or a bus ticket like a tramp. Because the government won't look out for you. The community won't look out for you. There isn't a community. This is just a place where we buy and sell. This is just some marketplace. That's the problem that people have. Blood and soil for me, open borders for thee. Blood and soil, fascist, Jewish nationalism for Israel, but for America, refugees welcome. Open borders, right? The best and brightest, multiracial, working class populism, colorblind meritocracy, whatever you want to say about it, that's what it's going to be for America. That's what's implied. And here's the kicker. Here's the best part. So maybe you could say that's a double standard, but it gets better. It's not just that Israel is going to be a community and a nation with blood and soil, and they get to do these things, and America doesn't. They have one set of values for Israel, another set of values for America. Here's the best part. They expect the American government to take care of Israel, but not Americans. So if a New York City, if someone who was born in New York City says, I want the government to help me, Ben Shapiro says, you're an ingrate. You're entitled. You're only entitled to opportunity. But when Israel's in trouble, they're entitled to help from the U.S. government. If you're an American and you say, I want the government to help me, you're an ingrate. You're a spoiled brat. You're entitled. You're a millennial. But when Israel's in trouble and says, I need the American government to help me, Ben Shapiro says, you better give them the missiles. You better give them the foreign aid or Israel's. That's the part that people really hate. The double standard is obvious. It's offensive. It's hypocritical. It's insulting. That's where people say, take your dual loyalty and go home. But to add to it, what makes it truly reprehensible, what makes it truly disgusting, they're not happy with the double standard. To add insult to injury, they want America to pay for their ethnostate. America will have no community. America will have no nationhood. America has no right to an identity, a sense of belonging, a sense of looking after one another. The government has this sort of role. It's not an, and Israel does. No, our government will also help them. So they have their nation and ours. God promised them the land. God promised them their ethnostate. And God promised them American aid. God promised them that America's going to pay for it. So Shapiro, with his Israeli wife, Israeli kids, his Israeli loyalties, he's got one set of standards for Israel and another for us. And at the same time is going to use his citizenship to lobby for welfare for Israel, but not for Americans. For Americans, he says, get lost, buy a bus ticket, get a job. For Israel, he says, think of the hostages, think of the Jews. How much do you have to actually hate a group of people to do this to them? Seriously. Josh Hammer, who used to work for Daily Wire, says Europeans have anti-Semitism in their DNA. Mark Levin said the same thing. How much do you have to hate a people to live among them thinking they hate you, but going and telling them, we're your closest ally. You need us. You got all your ideas from us. You don't deserve anything. You're not entitled to anything, but you have to keep paying for our country. How much do you have to hate a people to do this? Josh Hammer lives in a white country. America comes from the Europeans. Those were the settlers, the founders, the framers. Josh Hammer lives here among white people, and yet he thinks white people hate him in his DNA. But yet he gained influence here. He married someone from Israel, and he uses his influence to browbeat us and tell us, you have no identity, you didn't invent anything. You're horrible people in your bones, but you have to give us all your money and fight our wars for us. Then you start to understand, why did these people get kicked out of 109 countries? Because of behavior like this. Because of behavior like this. It's not because people are jealous. It's not because of an irrational hatred. It's because I think at a certain point, all these different polities came to realize, wait a second, you don't see yourself as one of us. You're not advocating for what's best for all of us. As a matter of fact, you don't even like us. And actually, you seem to be taking advantage of us. And if that's the case, then we need to go our separate ways. That's the story. Shapiro hates Americans. He sees Americans as useless eaters. And he can couch it any way he'd like. He can frame it any way he'd like. But look, if you're an American, I actually do believe that we have a community here. We have a nation. I disagree. You do have a right, at the minimum, to live where you grew up. You do have that right. New York City should be for the rich and for the poor. It should be for the rich and for the workers. It has to be. How could New York City exist without busboys? How could it exist without cab drivers? How could it exist without hotel workers? And where are those people going to live? They're going to go and live across the bridge. They're going to go live somewhere else. We're going to have billionaire island, millionaire and billionaire island. What do those people even make? They're going to work in insurance, real estate, and finance. And all the slaves can go live in the slaves' quarters and commute on violent buses and violent public transit? It's insane. That's insane. Of course, the cities are where the jobs are. That's where the opportunity is. And yes, the cities should be made affordable for everybody. There should be affordable public transit. There should be affordable public services. Affordable housing. You are entitled to that. Just as the Jews feel entitled to live in Israel, New Yorkers are entitled to live in New York. Chicagoans are entitled to live in Chicago. Angelenos are entitled to live in LA. And yes, the government should take care of those people. Society should take care of its constituent members. We do not live in an open market. We live in a nation. We live in neighborhoods, we live in cities made up of people when it should be based on shared heritage, shared identity, a shared sense of belonging, like we're all in it together. And the Jews understand that when it comes to Israel, they understand that when it comes to Brooklyn, they understand that when it comes to Surfside. But when Americans want to live in their own country, they say, you're an ingrate, you're entitled. Get lost. What kind of rootless way of that is thinking? Well, what kind of rootless way of thinking is that? I guess the Jews in Israel should get lost. Seems like it's pretty expensive to set up a country in the Middle East that we're always having to defend it all the time. Why don't you get lost? You don't want to live in America because of anti-Semitism? Gee, maybe you should stop blaming the world and start blaming yourself. Stop blaming a system and start asking, what did you do wrong? Oh, you don't like living in America? Man, maybe you should go and live in Israel because, you know, the world's really about opportunity. We don't owe you anything. This is the part where people really see what's going on. And this is happening at the same time that they want to gatekeep the Republican Party. Ben Shapiro wants to claim the moral authority to gatekeep the GOP. And by the way, what is the GOP? It's the conservative party, the party that is tasked with conserving our nation, our people, our culture, our traditions, our heritage. Shapiro wants to gatekeep the conservative movement. He doesn't care about anything or anyone here. He doesn't want to conserve it. You don't like New York? Yeah, well, I don't know. Go somewhere else. Oh, it's unaffordable? Ah, yeah, well, you know, go work on an oil rig. You got to uproot and leave your community where your grandparents and great-grandparents live, where your ancestors are buried. You've been there for 100 years? Yeah, I don't know, man. Get lost. Times are changing. This guy hates you, hates our country. He's not American in any meaningful sense of the word. And that's what people hate. Simultaneously, having no allegiance to this country, basically hating and having outright contempt for its people, but also claiming to be our moral betters and our gatekeepers and the right to lecture all of us all the time, that's the part that people really have a problem with. That's your Republican Party, missiles for Israel, but if you can't afford a house, get lost. Yeah, well, good luck with that, Ben. Let's see how that does in 2028. Affordability crisis. Hey, man, pick yourself up by your bootstraps. But in the meantime, we have to go to war with Iran. We have to provide billions of dollars in aid and more missiles. And we need $1 billion for anti-Semitism awareness and Holocaust Remembrance Day. And this is where Americans need to stand up for themselves. If you're white or not white, if you're Christian, the only reason I say white and Christian is because especially America was founded by whites. America's a Christian nation. If you're out there and you're supporting this, you're a cuck. Matt Walsh, you're a cuck. I'd be ashamed if you were my dad. You're a pathetic excuse for a man. Fuck you. And I saw Matt Walsh, who works for this little guy. I saw Matt Walsh, who works for this little guy, Ben Shapiro. He got in a little debate with Sneeko. And Sneeko is what he is. He's a Muslim. He defends Haiti. He defended Zohran Mamdani. And Matt Walsh likes to pivot to that. He says, well, Sneeko's brown. Sneeko's Muslim. Sneeko's a third worldist. Yeah, and you know what, Walsh? All those things are true. What's your excuse? You're right, Matt. Sneeko is Muslim. You're right. Sneeko is Haitian. He is non-white. What's your excuse? Here's the difference. Sneeko is taking his own side. Sneeko is Haitian. He speaks up for Haitians. Sneeko is Muslim in part because he's influenced by Malcolm X, and Sneeko's part black. He's taking his own side. And you could say what you want about that. But in principle, he's loyal to his people. What's your excuse? Enough with the deflection. Enough running cover for Israel while heaping disdain on brown people. We all see what you're doing. Matt Walsh, as much as you beat your chest about being American and being white and being Christian, you are a cuck for a Jewish Zionist who hates Christ, who doesn't like Europeans, and isn't loyal to America. And he signs your paychecks, and you work for him. And you say you're personally loyal to him? You are the biggest joke, cuck, traitor, embarrassment to our people there is. What's your excuse? Seriously, people have had enough of all of these white people beating their chest about being white, being Christian. I'm American. I'm a heritage American. And yet you cannot even stand up for your own country's independence because you're terrified. Can't stand up for your own church, your own savior, who they hate. Can't stand up for your race, which they also hate. And at the minimum, are apathetic about our extinction. And by the way, Matt Walsh said to, I think, Megyn Kelly, he said, well, I'm personally loyal to Shapiro. He said, Shapiro's my friend, and I'm personally loyal to him, and no one's going to make me go against him. You know what Shapiro said to Megyn Kelly a few days later? He said, personal friendships don't get in the way of my morality. If someone's being anti-Semitic, I'll call them out for it. And that's the difference between a bitch and someone who's serious. That's the difference between a slave and a master. That's the difference between a vassal and a feudal lord. That's the difference. Matt Walsh said, Ben Shapiro's my friend. I don't care that he hates America. I don't care that he hates Christ. I don't care that he's working for Israel. He's my buddy. He's my friend. I'll never betray my friend. And Ben Shapiro says, I don't care if you're I don't care if you're my friend, if you're anti-Semitic. That's the difference. Those people are serious. Those people are ruthless. You think they're your friend? Matt Walsh, you think he's your friend? Tell him what you really think about Israel. See if he's still your friend. Or maybe you don't even know. Maybe you're just ignorant. But make no mistake about it. On some level, Shapiro is what he is. Scorpion and the frog. I'm telling you this for your information. We Americans need to be aware of what Shapiro is. He's not American. Shapiro's an alien. He married an Israeli in Israel. He might as well be in a colony of Israel in southern Florida. Like, the guy's not American. So we Americans need to know what we're dealing with. When affordability crisis strikes Americans, Shapiro, the Israeli, comes in and says, oh, buy a plane ticket, buy a bus ticket. And we need to say, yeah, shut the fuck up. Yeah, this is a conversation for Americans. Disregard. You need to be deported. But Matt Walsh is the real problem. Shapiro is what he is. I think he should be humanely deported to Israel. He should be humanely and comfortably deported to Israel. Matt Walsh, you need to be put under the jail. Because understand, Daily Wire, Shapiro's company, it's made up of Shapiro, Klavan, Knowles, and Walsh. And the only thing keeping them afloat is Matt Walsh and Michael Knowles, two Catholic, relatively pro-white American guys. If it wasn't for them, people would see it for what it is. If it wasn't for them, you could not conceal that it was a pro-Israel outfit. You could not conceal that it's basically the foreign press. So he's not just, it's not just that he's not on our side, he's giving cover for the enemy. And so that's why this guy is really the linchpin. It's really the traitors that are the problem. I'll take an enemy over a traitor any day. You know, at least a sneako, a Muslim. At least even for that matter, a Jewish person, you know where they're coming from. There's something honorable. They're fighting for their own people. But a Christian that's working for the other side, what do you do with a person like that? And that's not, I'm not saying we should hurt him or anything like that, but I'm saying, well, what do we do with you, Matt Walsh? You know, we got to stop giving him quarter and giving him an excuse and saying, well, he's good on 90% of the issues. Yeah, he's a slave. That's a big one. He's Ben Shapiro's slave, but yeah, he's right about, you know, Disney Plus or whatever. He's right about the Snow White remake. He's got a great take on transgender people in sports. Who cares? He's Ben Shapiro's slave.